Good morning to everybody. How are you? It's kind of dark. All right, that's better. How's everybody going? Yes. It's good. Pastor Charlie could join us. You know, Pastor Charlie, I really appreciate the work that he does for us. And, you know, one thing I like about him is the heart that he has. From the very first time that I saw him, there is an earthiness that is there. You know, like earthiness means he's a grounded man. And that comes from many years of just being planted in the house of God and in the things of God. And with that just comes a presence. And I love that about him. And the love that he has for people is just exceptional. So let's put our hands together for Pastor Charlie. And so I have the pleasure this morning of just bringing some very quick encouragement. You know, that is just going to, and I'm very glad, Mr. Donovan, for your word this morning, very apt, as we will get to sort of like find out as we go along. Just the courage, you know, Mr. Donovan is one of our leaders here. Just that call that God has for us to draw deeper and closer to him, that we cannot separate our love for God and the word of God. That it goes hand in hand. We love God, and so we get to know him through his word. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for that message and that encouragement. Last week, 2 weeks ago, Pastor Nami spoke about a fresh word from the Lord, that we all need a fresh word. And sometimes we need to get out of our own way where we think we need this from God when God has even more for us. That we need a fresh word from the Lord, and that fresh word is more than we are expecting from him. And I spoke last week on success is not guaranteed unless we choose the right path to follow, unless we watch what our influence is, the people that we have around us, the relationships, because the relationships are key to moving us forward in the things of the Lord. Sometimes we may have friends, and these friends really don't encourage us to keep pursuing the Lord. They want us to go the other way. So we have to be very careful about what we listen to and who we have around us, who we have. And the key thing is influence. We always want to be around people that will influence us to do the right thing. The scripture says it better than I can. It says, bad company corrupts good habits. So if you hang around bad people, after a while, you may be as squeaky clean as soap, but after a while, you're going to get dirty because you're just hanging around bad people. And that's a good message for us to recognize that. And the bad company doesn't just have to be people, but it could be what we're listening to and what we're watching, because that's what influences us. And this morning, I just want to extend and to continue the message that the word that came from Mr. Donovan this morning, which is about the word of God. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If I never said anything else, we could as well just pack up and leave right now because the message is done. Your word, nothing else, your word, not the Australian newspaper, not what my next door neighbor said, but your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A few weeks ago, I was at an investment conference in Sydney, and they were just talking about investing and just helping people want to know more about investing. And there was a chief investment officer from Cbus and for Rest. Did I talk about this? No. And what this, they asked the lady, the moderator, the facilitator said, what advice would you give to your parents and to your children about investing? And so the chief investment officer from CBA said, what I would say to them is don't follow advice from people on social media. Because sometimes it may come across as the right thing, But it isn't. This is why the word of God is important above anything else. And we want to be like in Acts, it talks about the Bereans. These were a special type of people that they just didn't take on board everything the disciples were saying. It said that they heard what they said and they went to investigate to see whether what they were saying aligned to Scripture. So this is very important that we become consumers of the Word of God. We know we have no problem in consuming television, movies, entertainment and sports. And speaking of sports, in a few hours I'll be going to watch the cricket. And we are hoping that, I'm actually hoping that India beats South Africa. And the reason being is so that Zimbabwe has a chance, you know. <that's>, Yes. All right, look. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 9 says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. And I love this. It says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. And then it says, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. Do not listen to what people on social media say about investments. Doesn't say that, but it says that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In Psalm, the first chapter, verses 1 to 3, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. These scriptures are not just a call to leadership and to live a life of success, but they are a call to greater levels of intimacy and relationship with God. They are a call to greater levels of intimacy and relationship with God. Because you see, here he is giving Joshua a direct message that I have got, you're going to do such great things. You're going to lead this people and you're going to go over and conquer everything. Go into the land that I promised Moses and now I'm promising you. But at the core of that message is saying, you can have the peripheral stuff, which is the success in the assignment that I'm giving you. But Joshua, I need you to understand that the most important thing you can do is to value my word and is to value your relationship with me. Because as we value his word, then we will have the success, then we will be prosperous in the assignment that he's been given. Because remember that he's telling him what he's going to do. So Joshua clearly knows what his assignment is. The question is, Do you know what your assignment is? Because the same promise that was given to Joshua is given to you about your specific assignment. It doesn't matter what you've done from the moment, just even from now, from going backwards, but it's about your assignment with the Lord. It doesn't matter how young you are, you have an assignment. It doesn't matter how old you may feel or you are in ages. As long as you're still breathing, you have an assignment. And this is what the Lord is saying, is that with your assignment, do not separate it from my word and your relationship with me. We know this, the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to 21. Let me just turn there, Mark chapter 10. Mark 10, it says, as Jesus was starting out on his journey, he was on his way to Jerusalem. A man came running up to him, knelt down and asked, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, all of us want to find out, what is the key to success? What is the key to a prosperous relationship, a prosperous marriage? What is the key to whatever it may be? And so he's asking, you know, it's a good question to ask. And he says, why do you call me good? I don't know why Jesus said that, but he said it anyway. But he says, to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your mother and father. Teacher, the man replied, I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young. Now, so he's like, oh, thank goodness. So I'm on the right track to success. Then the Lord said, there's still one thing you haven't done. Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then it says the guy left not happy because he had so many possessions. The issue that this rich man was, he had a price problem. Now, we have to understand that there were many other rich people in the Bible, but it was not said this about them. So this was specific to this guy who had this problem. He had everything, but the one thing that he struggled with is the problem of the possessions possessed him, and he had lots of them. And to be given that message, he was like, man, I don't think I'm willing to give that up. So if we want to get anywhere in life, we need to give up some stuff. Now, I want to look much younger and more healthier than I am, so I need to lose a few kilograms. Now, to do that, there is an alarm that goes off every morning, and I have to make the choice. Do I really want to lose the weight and to be healthy, or would I rather sleep in and feel comfortable and stay the same? That is the question. Do we have a price problem? I was wanting to go deeper in my relationship with God. The issue that I had was that it's going to take some time where I'm going to get to know the Word of God, and I'm going to invest some time with the Lord. And that was a struggle for me for many years. I was just like, oh, I really don't want to, you know, have to sacrifice my time, because when I wake up, I just want to go on with my day. But the reality is that there is a call to greater levels of intimacy and relationship, and it starts with the Word of God. And quickly, I remember a minister, Andrew Kubala, he came to Port Hedland, and I was asking him these questions. So how do you maintain or sustain your ministry? And he said, you have to be willing to pay the price all the time. The reality is this. Am I willing to pay the price? I know what I want. I know what I want. I want to look good. I want to be healthy. But am I willing to pay the price of getting up in the morning? Because the reality is that it's going to cost me something. This call to deep, this call of God for each and every one of us to draw closer to Him, to draw closer to His Word, is going to cost us something. And what I like, you see, is that you and I are living sacrifices. A living sacrifice has got a choice that it needs to make all the time. An animal that was put on the sacrifice back in the day could be killed. It had no choice. It would just stay on that, well, it would literally stay on the altar until it was burnt up. I, on the other hand, and you, we are living sacrifices, which means that we continuously have to make a choice to stay on the altar. And it's a price problem. Now, I don't know, am I willing to pay the price? Am I willing to stay on the altar? Because God was calling Joshua to say, let's not look at the external success. What is going to sustain you is the Word of God. Because He implores him very seriously to say, this has got to be more valuable to you. And so, bids of affection are, you know, where somebody, whether it's a spouse, you know, that wants to spend some time with their partner, and they give them a wink to say, I want to spend some time with you. And the question might be sometimes that the spouse just doesn't get it. No, I'm not in the mood. And the other one feels a bit rejected because they feel that I want to get close to you, but you don't want to, you know, do that kind of stuff with me. And so you can easily feel quite rejected. Okay, so for parents, maybe I'll get the young people might understand this better. What happens at times is that a child will come to you and just sit next to you. And all they want to do is just to spend some time with you. Now, because you are busy reading maybe your Bible, you're reading your Bible, and the child comes next to you and is bidding for your affection. I just want your attention. And sometimes what we can say is, get away from me, I am talking to the Lord Jesus. And so all of a sudden, we send the children away. But what they're really wanting is they just want that affection from us. And a call to deeper from God is not something we do because we're just trying to tick a box and say, whoop, I spent my time with the Lord, now I'm moving on. It's not born out of selfish desire just to tick the box. It's actually God who begins the pursuit towards us. If you get closer to me, if you draw closer to me, I'll draw closer to you. But God, even for us to be saved, it was God who initiated the move, not us. It was Him who did that. Everything that we do is going to come from the Word of God. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, we heard this morning. That is pivotal to everything that we do. Our ministry is going to be derived from the Word of God over our lives. And so what we have to do, as we hear in Joshua is given that command, in Psalms it gives us that admonition to say, meditate on this word day and night. And we said all the time, you got to do it all the time. You got to fill yourself with the Word of God. And you pray back to yourself, Lord, whatever the Word says, you're praying it back. You say that greater things shall we do because you've gone unto the Father. And so whenever now you interact with somebody with a problem, you are not saying, let me call the pastors to pray for this one. You're praying for them yourself because you believe what the Word of God says. If you don't put this Word of God in you, when trouble comes, you're going to start rushing through the scriptures to find some encouragement, and there's nothing wrong with that. But prevention, as they say, is better than cure. Fruit bearing fruit is the result of an abundant supply of nourishment from underground streams of water. That avocado tree there was taken in Highfield in Zimbabwe from somebody's garden. I just took it, ding, many, many years ago. Probably 2018 is when I took that picture. But it has, its roots have got to go down deep so that it can draw from the sources. Sometimes it may not rain. And we know that there's water underground. So the roots have got to dig. They've got to find the source of water so that they're constantly able to provide fruit. In this instance, it's avocados. And so God's word is an all-sufficient, eternal supply of empowering grace for our life. So even when things get tough, we meet with difficulties, this word will sustain us. This word will sustain us. And it says that that person shall be like a tree. A tree has deep roots and is usually very sturdy. Who would go to King's Park if there were no trees? Anybody? No. Would you go to King's Park if there were no trees? Only Pastor Nami would go. I don't know why, but if there were no trees, you wouldn't go. Because it's just like, what is there to see? There is something magnificent about old trees. We recognize that they've been planted from a very long time ago, and somehow they have survived. They have seen many storms. They have seen drought, but somehow they have grown strong. And it's not that just they're watering them. It's, of course, they've got deep roots into the ground. And so a tree portrays stability and the capacity to withstand the storms of life. It's the picture of mental, emotional, and spiritual stability. This is why I love elderly people, people that have they've been alive many years. I call them old lions and old lionesses. Because you know what? They have survived some battles. They have something that they can impart to us. They have something that they can give us. And that's why I love them. Because they will impart wisdom, their journey of life, their ability to withstand stuff means they can make us a bit sharper. That's why I always say to my kids, a fool learns from their own mistakes. A wise person learns from other people's mistakes, which is good. So I would rather learn from somebody who's made some mistakes. It's less painful. So this picture of a tree showing us stability and the capacity to withstand the storms of life is a good thing. Also, if I was a bird, if we wanted to have bird life, if there were no trees, no birds would come. So when you hear the chirping of birds around you, recognize that there is something that has drawn them to that place. Because if there wasn't the tree, well, there is no place for them to nest. So that is why just that's a picture of, for us, when we are, as the scripture says, like a tree, people will want to come to us because they see something. A tree is a picture of growth. It's also a picture of the concept of growth and time. A big tree doesn't just happen in a week, in a year. It's many, many years. It takes time to grow and mature in the word. So this is what, it's not an overnight transformation. Like I can't, this is why, I'll tell you why, if you want to be successful or and to cheat people, because people want to circumvent the process. I don't want to go to the gym because it's going to take an hour, you know, on the Stairmaster or on the treadmill. Now, when I go to the gym, I do not run on the treadmill. I walk. But I walk on the incline, so it's a bit harder than just walking flat. So to circumvent the process, this is why it's quite easy for people to be cheated on, because they circumvent the process where things take time. Wealth is accumulated over time. Wisdom is accumulated over time. Now, if I want to circumvent that process, this is why all I have to start doing in this church is start saying abracadabra, you know, hey presto, and everybody will be like, we are going to that church because he's going to circumvent the process for us. It takes time. This is why people will spend and will keep throwing money at things, because they're just trying to circumvent the process. Good things are uphill, never downhill. Amen? The tree is a picture of ministry. If a tree is a fruit tree, it gives fruit. That one gives avocados. So it's an avocado tree. An apple tree, a pear tree, a strawberry. A strawberry is not a tree. It's a plant. So if it is an oak tree, it gives shade. God has given us his word that we might become fruitful trees in his service and in the ministry to others. This is why people will come to you, because they recognize that there is something within you that you are providing to them. Whether it might, there's fruit, but it's also the shade of that tree, because God is, you are like a tree. And so you are being in a position to minister to others. Every one of us has got a ministry. And I'm emphasizing this because this is very important, that you leave this place understanding that I have a ministry. And because I have a ministry, it will change the way that you view how God sees you. We are going to watch cricket this afternoon. We'll be on opposing sides. We are going to watch the cricket. We are going to look at people who have disciplined themselves to practice many hours hitting a ball so that they make sure that when they get into the game, it can go far. We go and watch athletics. We go to the Olympics to watch people who have disciplined themselves, because there is something about discipline that we envy in other people. Like, wow, look at that. You know, those guys were really strong. They've taken a lot. You don't just go to the gym, hit some 5 kg dumbbells, and then the muscles grow. It takes a bit of time. But all of us have an assignment. Just like Joshua was given his assignment. And if we are going to be successful with the assignment that God has for us, it's going to be based on the word of God. Ezra chapter 7 verse 10 says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel." This is a prayer I pray for myself. Lord, has prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. And for myself, I call it my desire is to learn, to live, and to lead. So it's just one thing where it's not just about seeking the law of the Lord and then going out and teaching everybody. You got to make it applicable in your own life. You got to live it, and then you lead from that paradigm. So if you go to a conference and if you want something, or if you are doing some study and you want to remember what it is that you've learned, the best thing to do is to be able to tell somebody about it. Because when you're telling somebody about it, it reinforces what you have learned. So that's a quick thing. Maybe you study something for 45 minutes, go and talk to somebody about it. Tell them, oh, this is what I've learned, because that reinforces the learning. So it's always from that paradigm of learn, live, and lead. That's how we've obviously got to operate. But it's just the word of God has to be something that is rich within our lives. And so how do we remain connected? It's quite important. I was talking about we are living sacrifices, which means we can have the choice to stay connected or not connected. And the only way we can stay connected is by spending time with God and by reading the Word of God, making this a priority in our lives. Because a plant which is planted by the streams of water has the capacity to endure no matter what comes your way, because this word is in you. Regardless of what's happening around you, you'll still be happy. And we will go through very difficult times, but the word of God will sustain us. And I'm not suggesting we won't, we will. And I know a lot of you have gone through very difficult times, but somehow you have found that you still are smiling, you still are laughing, even though you're going through torturous times. And whatever he does, you'll prosper. Real prosperity results from the work of God in the life of the one who meditates on his word. That is when we start getting real prosperity for your assignment, for the assignment that God has for you. Not anybody else's. What is my assignment, God? What do you have for me? I want to do whatever it is that you have for me for all the days of my life. Lord, I want to serve you, whatever that may look like. I give of myself. That is a question that me as a living sacrifice has to make each and every day. Am I going to do it my way, or am I going to do it God's way? And that's the challenge for this call to deeper. It's not just about the success. And this is what we are getting from what he says to Joshua and what's in the book of Psalm, is that it's not just about the success that you will get, but it's really about deeper intimacy, deeper connection with God. And so I'll just get Elter to come and just strum as we finish this morning. And I want to finish on Colossians 1. And this is a letter that Paul was writing to the church of Colossians, of Colossae. And he said, this letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God. And can we stand this morning as we finish? Chosen by the will of God. That means that we are not just an accident, but his specific choice, he has chosen us. So Paul is saying, this is who I am. I've been chosen by God to be an apostle, which means to be the one that is sent for a specific mission of proclaiming the gospel. Whether you're going to proclaim that gospel in the office, whether you're going to proclaim it in parliament, whether you're going to proclaim it at your job, whether you're going to proclaim it in your house, whether you're a business person, you are specifically chosen by God to be sent out to proclaim the gospel in whatever sphere that might be. To be an apostle of Christ Jesus, to be an apostle of the one that is anointed. That's you and I. We have a specific assignment. You have an assignment for your life. And I guess my question is, what is stopping you? What price are you not willing to pay? There could be something that you want, you desire, but you're not willing to pay the price, whatever it may be. It all starts with